This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Governor Tony Evers signed the next state budget into law last week, laying out the next 2 years of spending on education, roads, and more. Evers also used his veto power to make 78 partial vetoes, raising funding for K-12 schools and eliminating several measures. Joining us in studio to talk about what the budget means for the Driftless area are Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of the 94th Assembly District and Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of the 96th Assembly District. Representative Doyle, what do you think were some of the most important funding changes included in the next budget?
Well, you know, in the last election, everybody ran on three topics: education, healthcare, and transportation. So we really wanted to see increases in those. With regard to transportation, talking with my La Crosse County Highway Commissioner, he indicated that both the Evers proposal and the Republican version that the governor signed had about a 10% increase for transportation spending locally. I think that was important. Education has gone up, not as far as Governor Evers or many Democrats wanted it to go. You know, the concern that we have with regard to education is that there's a lot of public support for it, and when school districts have been going to referendum, you know, the voters have been saying, yes, you know, we're willing to increase spending for, you know, this education project or that education project within the school district. In fact, most of them have passed, but the difference is when the state funds education, that comes from income taxes, corporate taxes, sales tax, everything. When you fund education at the local level through a referendum, that comes straight off the property tax, which is the worst way, obviously, to pay for education. So it was a disappointment that we didn't get to the two-thirds funding for education. It's close, but it's not quite there. And then, you know, the big difference between Democrats and Republicans in the budget was funding of health care. Obviously, the governor had proposed that we accept the Medicaid money. We would have, you know, had health care coverage for 82,000 more people, would have saved hundreds of millions of dollars. Hopefully, at some point, you know, the majority party will come around and say, you know, that is our money. Maybe we will take it after all, but not in this budget.
Representative Oldenburg, I wonder what you think are the most important things that were included in this budget.
As Steve said, I think education level was very important to get, you know, the Republican Party matched what Governor Evers at $604 per student for 2 years. I know on the veto, some more money increased, so I do not know exactly what those numbers are. So that's definitely a win. Also got up the special education, increased that funding by 22%, which is, you know, I know a lot of my school board members, superintendents were asking, hey, we need more funding for special education. They needed to be right around that 28% to break even, a lot of them, and we came up to 30% after 2 years. So that was a very, was good wins. Also, putting more money into nursing home staff and also nursing home payouts. So these nursing homes, you know, are starting to close, a lot of them are closing, so help prevent that from closing. Those are some good wins. And as Steve mentioned, also on local road aids, 10% for East Township roads, that's about $200-some dollars, $263 increase per road mile. So that's a big win. And then also on transportation, a 19% increase on state highway improvement plan. So that some projects got moved up, some got also added in the next 5 years. So those are some big wins in this budget.
Was there anything in the budget that you did not agree with, Representative Oldenburg?
Well, my prime thing is how we actually funded the transportation. I think, you know, some people in my caucus, I might include it, I think we should have maybe looked at a broad way of looking at it, maybe possible a 10% increase in the gas tax, some fee increases and stuff like that. We could, because we've been stagnant for a number of years in gas tax without indexing. So that's, you know, I think out there, I got a lot of calls from Republican people that say, hey, why aren't we raising gas tax? So I think we could have came, you know, that was something that we could have looked at. I know that once got passed in the Senate. So a lot of this stuff that, you know, at the assembly level, I think we maybe would have looked at, but the Senate would never was, you know, a goal for it. So I was kind of maybe a little bit disappointed on that end of it.
Do you think that's something we'll see talked about in the future?
I do not know. I think I'm getting there's some polls out. No one wants gas tax, but the people that are actually working in government, working on these transportation at the county level, say, hey, we need more funding for these roads, and that's I think it could be, but I don't. Right now, as the Senate sits, I don't believe it will be.
Representative Doyle, were there any provisions that you did not agree with in the budget?
I agree with Lauren on the transportation funding. In fact, in the speech that I gave on the evening that we voted on the budget, you know, I started out, caught some of my colleagues by surprise. I started out saying, you know, this is a really good budget. There's really great provisions in there. If you live in Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, or Iowa, because you get to travel across our roads, and we're not charging you any more money to do that. I don't understand for the life of me why the Senate dragged their feet in this. And I know Lauren's caucus, Republicans in the Assembly, there was much greater support for an increase in the gas tax, paid for by everybody as opposed to just local residents or Wisconsin residents. So that was what was my biggest disappointment. I really had hoped that Speaker Voss would have been able to, you know, talk some sense into his compatriots in the Senate. That didn't happen. I am glad that the governor vetoed the study for tolling. That is not a popular proposal. It is not something that solves our problems today. It's 3 to 5 years in the future, even if we did enact tolling in Wisconsin. So I'm glad with that part, just disappointed that we didn't make it more broad-based, to use Lauren's term, in terms of the people who are driving on our roads should help to pay for those roads.
It sounds like there maybe was a lot of agreement between the two parties when it came to this budget, and maybe some good compromise. What are your thoughts on this, Representative Royal?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. You know, we've all heard that old adage, if you like laws and sausage, you don't want to watch either being made. And this was really an extreme example of that. You know, I've been in the state legislature as a member of the Assembly since 2011, but back in the 1980s, I was a staffer in the legislature. So that was under Governor Tony Earl and then Governor Tommy Thompson. And I saw how the budget process worked in those days. And there was a lot more, I wouldn't necessarily go to the extent of saying collegiality, but there's more respect back and forth, more trying to compromise and work together than this time. So, you know, it was disappointing that, you know, there were times I felt like I was in middle school where people were saying, well, you know, they didn't call me, they won't meet with me. It's like, grow up, you know, let's just sit down and work this out. So it really was a case where people had common goals, but they just couldn't acknowledge it. You know, we all wanted, as Lauren and I have both said, we all wanted education, healthcare, transportation. We wanted to get a handle on those things. We had different ways to get there, and that's fine. That's democracy. You know, so, yeah, I mean, there was more agreement than you would have read about in the paper or heard about in the news.
Representative Oldenburg, what are your thoughts on the level of cooperation in the legislature to get to this budget?
Well, unlike Steve, I don't know no difference, so I thought this is the way the budget is every year, so hopefully it does get better. I think, you know, Governor Evers put out a budget out there, and he asked for a lot. And on conservative side, you know, guys in my caucus, say, you know, had struggled to vote for this because of how much is spent. You know, and it's like, but I think we came a long ways, you know, understanding, hey, education, transportation had to be funded. Something in healthcare had to be done as far as reimbursement rates to the nursing homes and providing, you know, decent money for healthcare providers. And I think we met a lot of the same goals, maybe not to the levels that the governor wanted. But I think in the process, you know, if he didn't put a budget out there and only asked for what we got in the budget, we would have never got what we had in the budget, you know, because we got a compromise. And through the process, I think, you know, it probably is maybe a little disappointment that, you know, that we couldn't talk a little bit more. But I understand leaderships, you know, I'm new in the process, and they have their ways about doing it. But I think we got a good budget here that the state of Wisconsin should be proud of, because, you know, we provided the funding for education, transportation, and healthcare, but also we gave them a nice tax cut also for everyone in the middle class. So everyone benefit from this budget, and we also actually put money aside for a rainy day fund. So the state is economically in good shape, and I think we had the funding to do what we did. And going forward, I, you know, as the state hopefully keeps growing as it is, we can keep providing services for the people out there.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about the local impacts of the next state budget. We're here with Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua and Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska. Representative Oldenburg, as you mentioned, you know, this budget spends several billion more than the previous budget. And I just wonder what your thoughts are on this. I mean, do you feel like is that something to be concerned about, or do you think this was a financially wise move?
Well, it's one of the lowest budgets been for, I believe, since 01 or something as far as borrowing rate. So obviously, you know, there's money coming in. I know there's some structural deficit at the end of the 2 years. It's going to be, you know, I believe it's at $1.4 billion. So that's commitment that we have already committed above and beyond this budget for next, you know, for the 2 years, when the next budget. So those were some very concerning in my caucus that, you know, hey, it shouldn't be that high. But, you know, we got a record amount of income coming in. People, you know, I believe the unemployment's at 2.8%. So people are all working. And I believe as far as spending, you know, it comes in at about that 5.6% or $5.6 billion, whatever that is. You know, it's right in line of what the last year's budget is, maybe a little bit higher over the, you know, at that time. So I believe this budget is fiscally responsible and does what we needed to do to provide the services to the people.
Representative Doyle, what are your thoughts on the overall spending in the next budget, rather?
Well, conservatives say that it spends too much, and liberals say it spends too little, so it's probably right on the money. I mean, I think that it's a responsible budget in the sense that there is the rainy day fund. I think that there were things that we could have done to obviously make it better. You know, the money from the Medicaid expansion to me was just a no-brainer that we should have taken that. 37 other states and the District of Columbia have. You know, we're sending our money, $1 billion at a time, to Washington, and they'd like to send it back, but, you know, we're not taking it, so they're giving it to other states. To me, if the economy goes south and we need to find some money somewhere, you know, that's always available to us. The federal government is making that available to any state that's looking for it. So I hope that, you know, Republicans do keep an open mind on that. You know, but in terms of other things, you know, such as education, for example, you know, we did increase education. There'd been, you know, significant cuts over the last, you know, several years in that regard, especially in 2011. We're slowly working our way back. I think that's a step in the right direction. Transportation, you can't ignore roads for as long as we have and expect to fix them, you know, in one biennium. So that solution that we came up with in this budget is not a solution that's going to take us forward. It's a Band-Aid for the next 2 years. It is going to cost money to fix our roads, both the state roads, the county roads, the town roads, and city streets. That takes money. We're going to have to bite the bullet on that issue and figure out something that's sustainable. You know, until then, that is going to continue to be the issue that I hear mostly from people. I mean, when I run to people at the store or at church or on the street, they're telling me, aren't you guys going to do something about these roads? And so we took our step in the right direction. We got a ways to go.
Continuing on this issue of road funding, you know, what do you think it's going to take to move the needle on this issue to get something that is more of a long-term fix?
I had hoped that this budget could have been that, you know, what at the federal level is the Social Security problem, where neither the Democrats nor the Republicans want to be the one to jump off the cliff alone, but if they're holding hands someday, maybe they'll jump off the cliff together. Transportation to me seemed like that issue at the state level, where nobody wants to raise taxes, whether it's gas tax or registration fee or tolling or whatever, but everybody agrees we need to do something. And the disagreement 2 years ago was not within the legislature. It was the legislature versus the governor, the Republican legislature versus the Republican governor. The stars seemed to align this time where, gee, maybe we can solve transportation as the first issue out of this whole budget. But that didn't happen. But I do think that what's going to move the needle is people simply, you know, continuing to talk about it and confronting their elected officials that you're not doing something on the issue that everybody sees. Not everybody uses our state parks. Not everybody, you know, has kids in school. But everybody drives on the roads, or at least rides on the roads. And it's something you can look out. I can look out the window of my office in La Crosse and see Ferry Street that looks like a third world country with all of the potholes in it. People notice transportation. What's the critical mass, I think, is going to be is when people finally get fed up enough and they say, we're going to start replacing you guys if you don't replace our roads.
Representative Oldenburg, what do you think is going to move the needle on this issue? And how do you think maybe this this next budget will help address this issue, especially in rural communities that you represent?
Yeah, putting more money, especially in the local government, townships and counties, to fix the local county and town roads. I think, you know, those are all wins in the budget. Probably a little disappointing end when the governor vetoed the $90 million grant funding to the county and local municipalities and local townships, and put that money into the DOT, what they can do, what they want with it. Hopefully they realize they got to put money, you know, give these grant monies to these local municipalities that fix these roads. And I think that's a start. I mean, and we all know that, okay, they're getting X amount of dollars more this year to fix these roads. They can't just flip a switch and these roads are going to be fixed. You know, it goes through the bid processes. Bridges takes 2 to 3 years when it goes through the projects get fixed. So people, hopefully they're patient, and hopefully come the next biennial budget that we can actually, hey, have another look at this and say, hey, we got to continue on. I know there's in this budget there's a lot of money for like to finish up the Zoo Exchange down in Milwaukee and other projects. You know, hopefully those projects get done and maybe some of that money can get moved from the eastern part of the state to the western part of the state and get these roads out here in the country fixed to where they're passable, safe, and also bring tourism out here. And that is huge to have good roads, good tourism, and for our economy out here in the western Wisconsin.
K-12 education saw kind of the biggest shakeup from Governor Evers' vetoes. You know, the legislature had put forward about $500 million increase in K-12 spending, and the governor added another $65 million roughly to K-12 schools' budget. Representative Oldenburg, what are your thoughts on the governor's moves with his veto power?
That's his right. That's his power. You know, that he has the ability to do that, and he has the strongest veto pen in the country, and every governor have had that back in, you know, before he can cross out letters. That's got removed in the state constitution referendum. So adding money in the education, that did not bother me. You know how he did it. I think it will be spent wisely, hopefully by the school districts, because it's, you know, in their pocket. There's some in there that he eliminated the guaranteed $1,000 per student. There's some school districts out there don't take much, you know, state aid money either. But that got eliminated. The DPI can do, you know, distribute it the way they want. So those are good things in the budget. I think special education was huge to bring it up there to that 30% level, because that's what my superintendents were talking. Hey, we need more to cover that. And we, in the last two, I wasn't there for the last budget, but this budget between the two was about $1.1, $1.2 billion more in education. So that's moving the needle forward.
You mentioned that, you know, we know that the governor has, you know, significant veto power just by, you know, virtue of our state's constitution. And, you know, I just wonder if that influenced, you feel like the legislature's, I guess, process in putting together this budget, this knowledge that the governor has veto power.
I think it was huge. I mean, we budget came out, and for over that weekend, you know, staff and members looked at that budget and see where, hey, what can he cross out, you know, and he took the word cannot and shall not, you know, out of there because he figured he could cross out the not word, you know, to change the whole meaning of what, you know, that budget is. And sure, and there's, I'm sure that a lot of these things that he did veto was looked at and probably was overpassed. Never thinking he could do that. So, but that's his right. And that's why he have three branches of the government, and that's his power and to over, you know. It actually keeps us in check, keeps us doing the right thing, and so we just, you know, can't put anything in there, and he can't veto it, too. So, because every governor should have that power because it's been there. So, I mean, he did what he thought was right, and do I agree with all of them? Probably not, but that's his power.
Representative Doyle, what are your thoughts on Governor Evers' veto decisions in this budget?
Well, I support it. I know that throughout the budget process, the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, repeatedly brought up that we are a co-equal branch of government. And in fact, he hired almost all of Governor Walker's budget team to make this budget as veto-proof as possible, but it just goes to show you the strength of the governor's partial veto in Wisconsin is still there. And you're limited mostly by your creativity as opposed to the Constitution, other than crossing off letters and things like that. In this case, with regard to the education veto, it's one that I certainly supported because education is not just an expenditure, it's an investment. And, you know, as a person who came out of the Department of Transportation, he is the education governor, obviously. He knows the ins and outs of public education in Wisconsin, and I respect him when he says, we need more money, and here's how we're going to spend it, and here's, you know, why we're going to, you know, how we're going to raise it, and why we're going to spend it in a particular way. So that one I thought was good. That was the only one that's raised any eyebrows in terms of creativity, and, you know, I don't know if we'll see any attempt to override that or, again, to change the Constitution to limit it further. But I think it's good when you have a strong governor because each of us in the legislature, you know, I represent 1/99th of the state, as does Lauren. The governor represents the entire state. So you have to have somebody that's there at the top that says, you know, I'm speaking and for and looking after everybody in this state, not just the urban or the rural or the eastern or western. And I think he filled that role very well by the vetoes that he made.
The governor helped pay for this increase in K-12 schools by cutting money for implementing new work requirements for adults receiving public benefits like food stamps. The governor's office has said that the requirements aren't entirely defunded and some will remain in place. Representative Doyle, you know, where do you stand on this decision to, you know, divert money away from these work requirements?
You know, that's been a topic that, you know, for people in the Democratic Party, it's like a lose-lose for us. So if we say, you know, we're opposed to work requirements, now suddenly we're big on welfare and we want to just give away money to people who are too lazy to work and so forth. I mean, we hear that all the time. We have a lot of things already in place in Wisconsin with regard to work requirements and eligibility and the various criteria that you have to meet to receive public benefits in Wisconsin. And I agree with Governor Evers that carrots are better than sticks in a lot of those. And in fact, you know, this week, you know, is the job fair at La Crosse County where some state representatives are going to go to see how the La Crosse County Child Support Agency is handling people who aren't working that should be paying child support. So what we're doing in La Crosse is to, you know, kind of a matchmaking process between employers looking for people and having a hard time finding them and people who may have a criminal record or not a really good or maybe a spotty work history, and we're getting them together to get people some jobs. You know, so that, I think, is a more effective way of making the system work than to simply say, you know, you're going to have to take drug tests and you're going to have to have a job or else. I mean, those things, every time you come up with a rule, you find people who figure out a way to get around the rule. So I agree with the governor's veto in this particular situation. He's not saying, let's just give welfare to everybody. He's saying there's a better way of handling the situation.
Representative Oldenburg, how do you weigh funding for these work requirements and, you know, more funding to schools?
The biggest thing on the veto there, he took $20 million away from training people that want a different job opportunity, you know, a different career choice and like that. And that's very disappointing on that end of it because, you know, when you, someone loses job or out of a job or looking for a place, hey, there's possible ways, you know, hey, I like that career. So there's some training that I can help. Very disappointed on that end. And like Steve said, it's, you know, you hate to take away that benefit from people that actually need it. And that's where, but we also have such a short workforce out there. We're shortage of people working. We have 2.8% unemployment. Say, hey, we got to get more people out there to work. And the employer wants these people to work, but we also have to, you know, get that wage or get that, you know, employment level. Say, hey, make that these people that are on welfare or are on these programs to leave those programs and able to, hey, start this job and work from there. So we got to kind of go, is there a way of transitioning? You know, not all just cut them off dry. I don't think that's the right way to do it. Say, how can we help transition them into the workforce, take some of their benefits away, and have the employer pay for some and kind of work, you know, is there a system out there? Is it be too complicated? I do not know, but that seems like the common sense way of moving people off the welfare and these programs into the workplace.
Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua is here with us today to talk about the next state budget and what the two-year spending plan means for southwestern Wisconsin. He's joined by Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the good and the bad in the next state biennial budget. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the local impacts of the next state budget. Governor Tony Evers signed the biennial budget last week after making 78 partial vetoes. We're here with Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska, who represents the 94th Assembly District, and Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua, who represents the 96th Assembly District. One of the things that was included in the budget was the Dairy Innovation Hub, which was a new research funding for UW-Madison, Platteville, and River Falls. Representative Oldenburg, as a dairy farmer yourself, you know, I wonder what your thoughts are on this initiative and whether it does enough to help farmers.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Will it make an immediate impact to the dairy prices or the dairy industry today? No, because it's going to take time. But if we can get more, you know, research on marketing products, new products, or anything that happens in this Dairy Hub initiative that actually can market more milk, able to get rid of more production or more milk out there and to kind of use up that supply of milk out there, which is kind of burdensome right now to the milk prices. Those are good wins, you know, and bring in young people, young minds, have look at things differently than us older folks that, hey, this product will maybe work, you know, that generation, how to market it, you know. So I think, you know, it's a right step in the right direction because I think we have not invested in a industry that's, you know, spends a little or it's a $40 billion plus industry for the state of Wisconsin. And I, you know, this is a minimal investment, you know, for this industry to move it forward, to help, you know, all aspects of dairy, you know, conventional, organic, non-GMO, grass-fed, all those, I think could be, have wins out of that. So people can reach out to some places, hey, is this in a viable way of producing milk or processing milk? So I think that's definitely a win.
Representative Doyle, what are your thoughts on the Dairy Innovation Hub and if it does enough to help dairy farmers who are struggling?
I agree with everything that Lauren said, and so I won't repeat that. And what I want to do is take a little bit different tack. I'm a member of our Suicide Prevention Task Force that was created by the Speaker of the Assembly. Rural Wisconsin, rural America, and in particular the dairy industry, is really hurting. And we're seeing that by farm foreclosures. We're seeing that by farm suicide. We're seeing farm and rural poverty rates skyrocketing. So something like this, it's just a small step, but it is a step in the right direction. And it what it does, too, is it hopefully provides some inspiration that people feel that, you know, we haven't abandoned rural Wisconsin. We haven't abandoned our family farms, and we haven't abandoned our dairy herds. So like Lauren said, it's not going to immediately solve a lot of problems, but it is a stepping stone, and I think it was a good move.
Medicaid has been brought up a number of times already in the conversation. Representative Oldenburg, I wonder what your thoughts are on the increase that we did see in Medicaid, this $588 million increase, whether it's enough and whether you feel like not taking the expansion is a missed opportunity.
I don't believe, you know, everyone said, oh, we lost out a lot of federal dollars. Compared to the governor's budget, we took about $187 million less of federal aid money. So of those 82,000 people that would have been, if we did expand up to 138% poverty rate, 82,000 people would have became more, been able to, been on Badger Care. And those individuals are single individuals, non-dependents. So they're not families. They're non-dependent single people. 40,000 of them already got health care coverage. So there's opportunity through the Affordable Care Act that they can get insurance. They're roughly right now there's 50,000 people eligible Badger Care already that do not take it. So we have to find ways to reach out to those people and say, hey, there's opportunity to get on Badger Care or through the Affordable Care Act. How can we help that process? Instead of getting, once we take that Medicaid expansion, we're always on the hook with, no matter what the government can pull, say, hey, we're not going to take any more. You know, then the state of Wisconsin's on hook at it. So I don't believe we missed the opportunity because, you know, right now Affordable Care Act pays 100%. You know, Badger Care will only pay 90% of that coverage. So I truly believe, you know, it's not a missed opportunity because I think we funded the health care, you know, in a sensible way through this budget. So it was not... this budget was not, Governor Evers' budget was not hinged on taking this Medicaid expansion. It was more hinged on raising taxes on manufacturing and agricultural, and then it was taking the federal money.
Representative Doyle, you have said, you know, you feel like not taking the expansion is a missed opportunity. I mean, do you feel like this $588 million increase for Medicaid and other state health programs, do you feel like that is going to have a positive impact?
Well, there's two components to the issue. One is, you know, who will be covered and how they will be covered. And, you know, whether it's 40,000 or 82,000, as the governor said, is just a part of the picture. The other part of the picture is that's our money. I mean, that's money raised in Wisconsin by Wisconsin taxpayers, sent to Washington. Washington says, if you want this money, sign up and we'll send it back to you. 37 states and District of Columbia, Democratic governors, Republican governors, liberal governors, conservative governors have said, gee, you know, that's our money. Let's take it back. And Wisconsin has not. I do disagree with Lauren's comment about, you know, if you're in it, then you're stuck. Well, you're not, because under the Affordable Care Act, if A, you don't like what they're doing, or B, they stop sending the money, you can send them a letter the next day basically saying, hey, we're out of here, and then you do your own thing. So we, from my perspective, could get in at almost no risk. It's money that can go to help people who aren't currently covered, but also will replace money that we're currently spending that can be freed up for elsewhere. So money that we're taking you know, that could have done environmental things or gone to schools or what have you, is money that now we have to use to fund health care. If we had that federal money coming in, that money that we're using on health care, some of it could then be sent to these other things, and you know, we would have been able to make two-thirds of the cost of public education, which was a commitment we had made to our schools a couple decades ago. We could be doing, you know, environmental projects like, you know, was mentioned. There's just so many things that we could do with that money that instead we have our own resources tied up that we're not free to do that.
Wisconsin residents in the area could enjoy a tax cut thanks to this budget. Representative Doyle, I wonder if you, you know, want to talk about who you think will benefit from the income tax change that was included in this budget.
Well, both sides of both political parties, you know, had indicated they wanted to have a middle class tax cut, and it worked out that it's a middle and a poorer family tax cut. So I think that is a good thing. You know, the two or lower tax brackets were the ones that got the targeted benefit this time. You know, in the scheme of things, don't spend it all in one place, I guess I would say. It's not a huge tax cut, but it's, I guess, better than raising people's taxes, especially if you're at the lower end of the economic spectrum. So, you know, I do like that. Look at that manufacturing and ag tax credit that, you know, some people have said, you know, that's the money that would be available. I tend to agree with some of that because what we've seen is not that that tax cut or those tax exemptions have created jobs. They are typically been used by companies that have already created the jobs before they got that credit, like years in the past, or have even shipped jobs out of state. You know, so it hasn't been the panacea that was hoped when that was put into place. So, you know, I like the way that the tax cut was aimed at working class people as opposed to corporations.
Representative Oldenburg, do you feel like people in your district will benefit from this reduction in income tax?
Definitely, because I live in a very, you know, lower income district. You know, I represent, you know, Vernon and Crawford, part of Monroe County, that's, you know, on a lower tier of, you know, on income level. A lot of farmers, a lot of small farmers, you know, definitely will help. I would have liked to seen it capped at the $150,000 level. You know, when you do the lower two tax brackets, everyone benefits no matter what you're making. So, but I would have liked to seen it, you know, capped at $150,000, what the Republican proposed back in January or February when we passed that budget or passed that motion or bill. So I would have liked to seen that. Something that Representative Doyle brought up, the manufacturing tax credit. You know, I've been in a number of businesses in La Crosse area that actually use it. It's a small, you know, they get a, you know, $140,000, $160,000, you know, tax break from that manufacturing, and they've keep on expanding. They're putting it back into the business, and it really would make them think, hey, you know, can I add or can I expand this business? So I believe manufacturing really hits home here in Western Wisconsin. You know, maybe there's some big companies that, you know, might not need as much or have moved out but I think going forward, it does keep companies thinking, hey, I can add employees. I can add manufacturing here in Western Wisconsin and La Crosse greater area.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum found the budget approved by the legislature, so before the governor's vetoes, would leave the smallest balance of money in the general fund reserve since 2011. Representative Oldenburg, is this something that you're concerned about at all?
Well, we always, you know, if you got needs today, you know, you gotta use them. But you always gotta think of the future. And I think that is concerning, that, you know, as far as, you know, the spending, you know, aspect of this bill or this budget. Hey, you know, we gotta look out. We can't overspend now, you know, because we already got a 1.4 budget deficit going forward. We got to fund $1.4 billion. We're going to have to find $1.4 billion of revenue before we start the next buy on the budget, because we already committed that money. You know, so that is concerning, you know, to me, that, hey, have we put ourselves out there too far, you know, for that? So that's, you know, that is concerning. I mean, get a little bit off the subject, because Representative Doyle mentioned something about taking Medicaid expansion. Hey, it's our money. And say, well, if they take it away from us, we can, you know, tell our constituents, hey, you no longer can have it. I do not want to be that person to take, hey, all of a sudden we had it and take it away. So, I mean, it is concerning, you know, as far as spending in this budget, as far as the lowest GPR leftover money. So balance, it's concerning to me.
Representative Doyle, what do you think, what are your thoughts on this issue of, you know, what's kind of left over in the general fund reserve?
Well, that does concern me too, because we are, nationally, we're in the, you know, probably the end of the longest economic expansion since World War II. That's going to end at some point, sooner or later. And when it does, the chickens are going to come home to roost. And, you know, we tend to fare better than the two coasts, but eventually it does get to the Midwest, and we're going to have to figure out where that money is going to come from. At the federal level, you know, they have gone crazy with the credit card, and we have the highest amount of debt that we've ever had in the history of our country. I would like to have seen a larger reserve, just because at some point, and it could very well be in this biennium, we're going to need that money.
Representative Doyle, what do you think is going to impact your district the most from this budget, and what would you like to see most moving forward?
Well, two things. Probably education and transportation would affect my district the most. We have a lot of families in my district. I have a fairly young population, people with kids, and looking to make the future better for them. So I would like to have seen more money go into education, but I am glad that it did go up, some degree in this biennium. Transportation, with that 10% increase for our local roads, we're going to see a few roads and bridges get fixed, and I think people will appreciate that. You know, so those are the two things that I think, in terms of the average person realizing what the changes are in the budget, those are going to strike them the most.
And Representative Oldenburg, same question for you. What do you think is going to have the biggest impact in your district, and what would you like to see most moving forward?
I agree with Representative Doyle on both those subjects, because they are very important. I got 13 school districts in my and that I represent, and they all need money, you know, to educate the kids, because teacher salaries are very competitive because they live close to La Crosse. They can pay a little bit more up here, and we lose good teachers. So, I mean, we got to be competitive across the board. So I think education level, transportation is huge. Get more money into local governments to actually fix these roads. I ask everyone to be patient out there, because I think it's going to take time. Like I said before, you just can't flip a switch. Hey, next year we're going to have all these roads fixed, because it is going to take time. And hopefully we can come up a solution, you know, with increase of, you know, electrical cars. You know, how do we get revenue from them? Have a going forward a good plan on how do we fund these roads, and where do the people really want to have these roads funded at, you know, and what sacrifices are they willing to make? You know, we got to know that at the state level so that we can make a good decision. Hey, do you want this X amount of dollar fees or taxes or other ways to fund these roads to the point that where we are have good roads to drive on? So I think that going forward through this water task force, I'm really looking forward to some environmental issues, clean water that affects our district out here in Western Wisconsin, that I hope some good initiatives and good programs come out of this water task force that we can actually move the needle forward as getting these wells possibly cleaned up, and for the future of having clean drinking water for everyone.
Republican Representative Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua and Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska joined us to talk about the next 2 years of state spending under the newly approved biennial budget. Before we go, we wanted to check in with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White to hear her take on this year's budget process. Thanks for joining us, Laurel.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I want to start by touching on a new bill that's actually been proposed this week by several Republican lawmakers that would prevent the governor from using vetoes to increase state spending. How significant would this change be, and is it likely that we're going to see action on this?
So this would actually be a pretty big change for the state of Wisconsin. If we want to make any changes to the governor's veto power, that actually has to go through the state constitution. We would have to pass a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin. So essentially the process for doing that is introducing a resolution before the legislature, which is what lawmakers are proposing be done. That resolution has to pass in two consecutive sessions of the state legislature, and then it has to go to a statewide voter referendum. So kind of three big steps there for this to be approved and make a constitutional amendment. Now, this is something that voters in Wisconsin and lawmakers in Wisconsin have done before, twice actually, over the past 30 years, to sort of roll back some of this power that the governor has with his veto pen, which is still pretty substantial.
I mean, was Governor Evers' use of the veto power this time around really any different from previous governors?
You know, it really wasn't. So I think to put it in a little bit of context, Governor Evers put forward 78 partial vetoes for this budget. Governor Walker put forward about 99. This is something that governors over time have consistently used as a way to sort of nip and tuck at the budget that passes the legislature to align it a little bit more closely with their own policy goals. It's a little bit of that sort of check and balance that we see as bills move through the legislature. I think what's interesting here is we're hearing about this potential constitutional amendment is that lawmakers in Wisconsin, particularly Republican lawmakers now, think that that check and balance isn't working as it should. They think the governor still has a little bit too much power with that veto.
So how do you think this year's budget process overall compared to previous budgets under, say, former Governor Scott Walker?
So this budget process, I think, was interesting because we're entering, obviously, well, we're in now, this new era of divided government in Wisconsin, which we haven't seen for several years. We've got a Republican-controlled legislature and a Democrat in the governor's office. And I think that really affected how the budget process played out this time. What we saw was a Republican Party that was much more united in its goals than I think we had in the last budget cycle. There was a lot of disagreement between Republican lawmakers on some pretty high profile issues, like transportation funding, for example, in the last state budget. And that actually led to the budget being delayed by several months. It passed its summer deadline. So what we saw this time around was a little bit of, I think, joining together out of necessity for their party and their goals, kind of seeing the governor and his party and his power that he has in the executive branch as a motivation to really stand united behind their party's ideas.
I mean, speaking of party politics, Representative Doyle and Representative Oldenburg, who we had on the show early in the program, you know, they seem to agree many times during our conversation about the most important state spending items. And so I wonder if we saw any sort of consensus from the rest of the legislature, especially maybe from party leadership.
Absolutely. You know, I think there are big parts of the budget that Republicans and Democrats agreed about. I think it's just sort of how they wanted to get there. The things that we heard a lot from the governor on the campaign trail were schools, roads, and healthcare. And I think Republican lawmakers would agree that those were big priorities for them as well. And they were all things that saw pretty sizable increases in this budget. They didn't go quite as far as Governor Evers wanted. In the case of education, for example, he wanted $1.4 billion in new spending. He got about $600 million. He, of course, wanted that Medicaid expansion. Didn't get that, but still got a bump in Medicaid spending. So, and of course, we also saw the income tax cut for some individuals in Wisconsin. So I think it's safe to say that lawmakers wanted some of the same things for the state in terms of investments. It was just a disagreement about how to fund those things and how much money should go into them.
What does all this say about how state government is likely going to function in the future as we move forward?
Well, we did see kind of a high profile back and forth between the governor and Republican leaders in the legislature during this budget process. There was a lot of disagreement about how to come to an agreement about things, sort of how often they met, how negotiations went, the sort of general rapport, I think, between the Republican leaders and the governor was a little strained throughout this budget process. So I think that that does sort of indicate a little bit going forward how they're going to be relating to each other. We also know that some of these things that were introduced in the budget by the governor, things like the Nonpartisan Redistricting Commission or legalizing medical marijuana in Wisconsin, are going to be introduced as separate legislation in the fall. So those debates that we saw kind of being high profile ones, sort of rising to the top of the budget, certainly aren't going away anytime soon. So I think we can look at the budget as a little bit of a preview of the conflicts that we have to come.
Laura White is WPR State Capitol reporter. She also co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast, where you can learn more about the ins and outs of Wisconsin politics. Check out recent episodes and subscribe to the podcast at wpr.org/politics. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.